So we have a treat tonight on this lesson tonight is moral inventory. This is lesson number seven, moral inventory. Linda Fulton's going to come and she's going to deliver the lesson for us tonight. Thank you. Let's give her a hand.
So tonight we're on lesson seven, moral inventory. But before we get into the lesson, I want to share with you something that happened over the past month, which I think ties in well with the lesson. About 6 months ago, I bought myself a bird feeder, and it holds two suet cakes, and it has like a screen around it to keep the squirrels out. So I hung it on my back patio, and my dog and I have been enjoying this for quite a while. And one day I come home from work and happen to glance out there, and it's gone. And I'm like, how could it be gone? I mean, did a squirrel, like, take it? So I'm, like, pondering this, and then I was debating, should I buy another one or not? So I decided to buy another one, but I went to the store, and I bought myself a bicycle chain. And I chained it to the hanger because I thought if someone's going to take this one, they'll have a little trouble. So about maybe a week went by, and it's dusk, and my dog runs over to the slider, and I'm like, what? So I go over there, and there's this huge raccoon sitting on the fence with the hanger in his hands or paws, what are they are, and he's pulling it, and he's trying to take it, but he couldn't because it was chained. And anyways, I started thinking about this later, and I thought, you know, I was so convinced in my thinking that somebody took it, and I was wrong. I mean, someone did take it, but I thought it was a person that took it. But I was unable to think outside of my box of thinking. And I do the same thing in my life. You know, I get stuck. I limit myself by how I think. I limit myself thinking I can be any different because of how I think. And as I surrender to God in this program of recovery, I believe that God will use it to change my thinking and renew my thoughts and free me. So tonight we're going to look at how the moral inventory can help us in this process. So this lesson is based on principle four: openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And step four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And it's also based on the Bible that says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to God. And that's Lamentation 3:40. So this lesson is about getting ready to do our inventory with our sponsor, someone I trust. Tonight I will be talking about some of the steps we need to take in preparation for doing an inventory. So what is a moral inventory? It's an honest listing of all the significant events in your life, both the good and the bad. It's being as honest as we can be, asking God to show us our part in each event and how it affected us and others. Why do an inventory? It's difficult to do an inventory. What is the hope? What will be on the other side of doing an inventory? The ninth step promise in the AA tradition says this, and it gives us this hope. for those of you that are familiar with the promise, the ninth step promise, I'll read it. It says, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. This is why we do an inventory, to get our lives back. I don't know where each of you are in the process of doing your inventory. I have had the privilege of doing mine with a sponsor, and it made a huge difference. It was difficult, but actually pre-inventory was much more difficult. For years, I had allowed hurts, habits, fears, unforgiveness to pile up in my life. If my life were a house and my hurts were bags of garbage, there wasn't really much room to walk around. Doing an inventory is about cleaning house, taking out years of accumulated hurts, shame, unforgiveness, habits, fears, one bag at a time. We chip away and clean out all the decay of the past that has built up over the years and has kept us from seeing the truth about our past and present situations. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:22. So tonight's acrostic will explain the five things we need to do to prepare for our moral inventory. We need to make time, we need to be open, we need to rely on Jesus, we need to analyze or examine our lives, we need to make a list. So the first thing we need to do is we need to make time. And this can be one of the hardest things to do, to make time, to be alone with ourselves, away from people and distractions, and to get alone with God. This in itself can sometimes seem frightening, bringing up all kinds of feelings. It can seem overwhelming. I used to feel as though I might be swallowed up if I allowed myself to feel. But as we make time, God honors this. The next letter in moral, O, stands for open. Be willing to open your heart and mind to allow the feelings to surface. Go back to that place where you were hurt. Remember when that hang-up or habit first showed up. Give yourself permission to feel. Is denial blocking your recovery? Do a reality check. What is repressing your feelings? We need to be open, receptive, willing, ready to risk asking ourselves these hard questions. The questions are meant to wake up our feelings and get us started on our inventory. What is it that you and I cling to so tightly that we don't want to let go of? For years, I had suppressed so much hurt and anger and unforgiveness and shame that I thought if I allowed God to begin this process of healing, I might actually go crazy or lose control of myself. But this is a lie. Because the more we bury our hurts, the worse it actually gets. It's as we unravel that ball of hurts that the healing actually begins. Some other questions we can ask to begin this process. What do you feel guilty about? God uses guilt to correct us through His Spirit when we are wrong. This is called conviction. Not to be confused with condemnation, which is when I get out that small bat and hit myself over the head, or repeatedly tell myself that I'm a bad person. Another question we might ask, what do I resent or who do I resent? Resentments result from burying our hurts. If resentments are suppressed, they cause anger, frustration, depression. What we don't talk out, we can end up acting out destructively. Another big question we need to ask during this step is, what are my fears? Fear prevents us from expressing ourselves honestly. Fears can keep us from our recovery. Fears can keep us doing that, walking down the same road and falling in the same hole. Lastly, am I trapped in self-pity, alibis, or dishonest thinking? These questions are a beginning in this process of inventory. The next letter in the acrostic is R, which stands for rely. We need to rely on Jesus to give us the courage and strength this step requires. For years, I relied on everything but Jesus. I put my salvation and hope in other people rescuing me. I put it in reading the right book that might give me the answers I needed. I put it in the right therapist rescuing me. I put it in exercise. I put it in diet. I put it in control, perfectionism. What have you relied on? What are you relying on now? Jesus is the only one who can rescue us and change us and redeem us. Change us from the inside out. Make us new creations. In Psalm 103, it says this, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles." The Bible tells us to remember the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So as we rely on Jesus, we can then take the next step and analyze or examine our past honestly. We can step out of the past of denial, look at the truth of our lives today, get in touch with our true feelings, motives and thoughts, and dare to look at our dark side. An important part of this whole process is to remember to keep the inventory in balance as we begin to list our past. So our inventory is past events and experiences. It's looking at the good and the bad, realizing our strengths and our character defects, and ultimately discovering the true you. This moral inventory is to be done with a sponsor or accountability partner who has gone through the 12-step program themselves. You need someone you trust to help keep you balanced during the step, and ultimately, you need someone who can be Jesus in the flesh for you. Someone who will support your progress and share your pain. In closing, this principle is about surrendering to a power greater than ourselves. Our hurts and habits may seem like huge mountains that can never be moved, but we have a God who is mighty to save.
Let me ask you to give your attention to the questions that are at the bottom of the moral inventory sheet that you got tonight. It may seem like a very difficult task. mountains that we can't climb, we sang about earlier, and then kind of ending with Jesus is mighty to save, mighty to enter into this process with us as we do this inventory process that can feel like a daunting task. So what we need to do at this time is to ask question number one, which is there, am I struggling with steps one, two, or three? Before we head into a step four and a step five, we need to make sure that we are not tripped up on one, two, or three. So in the front of our books, the Celebrate Recovery books that are on the back table there, there's a set of four books, and each of those books has the 12 steps in it. So that's what it's referencing. Are you stuck at step one, two, or three? So you may want to take one of those books and get a look at what those steps are. Okay? And if you are stuck, do you know why you're stuck? That would be a first step. And these are questions that we're able to interact on tonight when we get into our small group time. So I want to make sure that we have some time just to see what they are so we know what we're going to talk about tonight. The second one is, why is it important to our recovery to do a written inventory? All right. We need to be convinced that it's important to have this stuff written down. A lot of us have this stuff in our heads, and for me, the process of writing it down brings clarity, and it also puts it there in black and white, and I can't really deny it at that point because it's right there. You know, if it's in my head, I can try to justify it and squeeze it and turn it around, but when it's on paper, it's there. Three, what things have I done to hide the reality of my past actions or inactions? Okay, this gets at the fact that the way that we've been doing it, trying to hide and cover over things, doesn't work. The inventory process is the opposite of hiding and covering. It's bringing clarity and getting it down where we can look at it and a trusted other person can interact with us on that. All right, so we want to know what we've been doing to hide these things because we're going to do the opposite now. Number four, how do I have a sponsor to help guide me during the inventory process? Okay, if you're going to scale a mountain, you probably shouldn't do it alone. So Jesus Christ is going to be with you, and some people say, that's all I need is Jesus and me, and we're going to go for it. That's great. You also need someone who will sit across that table from you and call you out when you're not being honest about the things you've written in your inventory. Or someone to encourage you when you get really discouraged and you say, like, look at all this stuff that I dragged out. Look at all this is not nice stuff. And that person can point out and help you balance things out so it doesn't become this imbalanced inventory with all just negative stuff. And in terms of a sponsor, what we're talking about is someone who has been through a 12-step process or has been through Celebrate Recovery and the 8 principles, and they understand those things, and they're steps ahead of you on the process, and not someone who's right beside you at the same level, but someone who's a little bit ahead of you, one step or more. Five, what are some of the negative actions that I have taken in my past? This is what the part of what the inventory is going to be built on, is some of the things that you've done that you're going to be writing down. And then number six, what are some of the positive actions that I have taken in my past? Okay, we want to have this to be a balanced thing, not just all the negatives, not just all the positives, but really an accurate picture of what's going on in your past. Number seven, how do my actions show that I am changing? Number eight, what is keeping me from beginning my personal inventory? And then nine, if I could go back in time, what would I change? Okay, so those are the nine questions. Usually in our small group time, we have time to answer one of those, maybe two. So think about it. Which one do you want to interact on tonight for yourself? All right, let's all stand to our feet. And let's pray this as a prayer together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will. that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.